Okay, it's time to stand or take whatever appropriate posture to honor the gospel as I'm reading Mark 9. John said to him, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. For truly I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward. If any of you cause one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and to go to Gehenna, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than to have 2 feet and to be thrown into Gehenna. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and to be thrown into Gehenna, where their worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another." The word of the Lord. You may be seated. At this time, we're going to dismiss our youngsters to junior worship. We'll sing them out. Jesus loves me, this I know.
Right, we're unmuting, mic checking. Good. Good morning. If you don't know me, I'm Danny Langston, and I am a product of this community. I was literally born into this community. I was a part of this community for my entire childhood and my entire adulthood. I brought a husband into this community, brought children into this community, and I feel, I'll claim, I am literally because we are. I am because you are. So thank you for that. I'll never stop thanking you for that. So with a whole lifetime of being here, just over 2 years ago, my family, me and Boone and our kids, Jordy and Charlie, we moved from here, where we had been, where I had been my entire life, to Billund, Denmark, which is very far away. And we work at the Lego Group. Boone is a model designer at Lego, and I'm an educational content writer in Lego education. And so that is where we are living our weird little life now. So yes, that's all there is to say about that. So just a little context so that when I talk about some things that makes sense in that context. And again, thank you for welcoming us back into your space. Boone said it really well, but it feels very much like a homecoming and a guest inviting in. So thank you for continually welcoming us back in. All right, let's get into it. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. If your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. If your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. When I agreed to bring you a sermon this week, I told Kevin specifically it was under the condition that it would be one of those easy breezy lectionary passages. Joy and sunshine and, you know, lovely, lovely things. Not so. Not so with this one. This feels like a pretty intense passage, doesn't it? Cutting off hands and feet and gouging out eyes. It's not one of the more pleasant imagery moments that Jesus gives us. Since we know that Jesus tends to speak in parables and metaphors and rich storytelling, I thankfully imagine that we're not literally being asked to do these horrific acts on ourselves for some sake of the kingdom. In which case, what's the point of conjuring these images at all? Consider that in this passage, Jesus is aligning all of these gruesome acts with one thing: sin. I feel the need to be crystal clear here and now on my personal belief on that really loaded term, sin, before we go any further. Largely shaped by this community right here, but also some other really profound places, I've come to the personal belief that the term that we use for sin are any of the things that separate us and anyone in this world from peace and goodness and flourishing. They can, of course, be personal, but they can also be societal and systematic. Sins such as racism, sexism, discrimination, and marginalization of all sorts. Witnessing he and her and they and them hurt, feared, pushed to the margins, legislated against. Of this, I would happily say, cut it off. We weren't created for this. We weren't created for these sins that separate and divide, hurt and traumatize. We were not made for this. Just as our hands and our feet and our eyes weren't created just to be cut off, our bodies and our lives can be used for the detriment of the marginalized and the centralized alike. It is a sin as gruesome as willingly cutting off your own foot. We were not made for this. Our hands and our feet and our eyes were not created for this. So what were we made for instead? Today I want to offer three possibilities as, you know, alternatives to cutting off feet and hands and gouging out eyes. Three alternatives is this: touch, walk, and see. Touch. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. So if our hands were not made for what pushes to the margins, what hurts, what were they made for instead? Touch. Can you think of a time when the physical touch of another person, any person, felt holy and healing or inclusive and loving? Many of you know my daughter, Charlie, was born with a foot birth defect, which has resulted in a handful of surgeries, years of casting and bracing, among other things. Just this past year, our family went through the most significant surgery with her in Denmark. Shout out Universal Healthcare. It has been a really long, intense road to recovery. After being in a cast and a boot for many weeks, we started physical therapy to begin the long road toward healing and strength. Physical therapy involves a lot of touch. and Charlie really struggled with this at first. When the cast and the boot came off after all those weeks, she could barely tolerate my finger on her foot, much less any other sensation. Our physical therapist informed us that our very first step of treatment was simple: touch. My task each day was to spend dedicated time simply touching her foot and her leg to bring it back into communion with the rest of her body and her mind. Healing, quite literally, started with just touch. It was the beginning of reminding a critical part of her body what it was made for. Now, touch can be an intimate, boundary necessary thing. I'm not suggesting we all go start laying our hands on each other or hugging people without consent, especially the touch-averse among us. But I think in investigating what we were made for, touch represents something central to the human experience: connection. We all deeply desire to be known and cared for by others, and that connection comes to us in a variety of forms. We were made for deep connection, even if only with a small handful of people in our lifetime. The ones we might even trust with our scarred post-surgery foot to bring it back into harmony. So, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. But if the touch of your hands causes safety, healing, or love for another, let's call them good. Number two, walk. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. Where have you walked? Which rooms have you walked into and out of? Who have you walked toward and away from? What trails, paths, streets, or hills have you climbed? I'm a big believer in walking. When we moved to Denmark just over 2 years ago, I tried to learn my new town by walking it. Walking a place creates a mental path and an understanding that I just can't get any other way. But more significant than that, I've found that walking reignited one of my favorite things: awe and wonder. In these early Denmark days, when I was trying to discover my new surroundings and honestly discover myself in this profound plot twist of life, I took a walk one day in a new direction, taking off from my safe little apartment compound through carefully manicured walking paths and Danish neighborhoods. I had adopted this mentality of go where it feels warm. Not literally warm. It's Denmark. So a turn, left or right, was chosen by whatever feels warm. I see something warm looking in the distance. I'll walk toward that. After a few of these warm chosen twists and turns on this particular day, I found myself suddenly in front of a beautiful lake and forested area in Billund, in Lego Town. My Pacific Northwest heart could barely take it. Just about a 5-minute walk from my new home was the familiar connection to trees and nature that gave me a sense of rootedness and peace. I had no idea it was even there until walking took me there. Awe and wonder. But it didn't stop there. Along this path around the lake sat a perfect little bridge. Native plants and birds, even a pair of swans floating on the water. Awe and wonder. Walking through the tree-lined path revealed a completely enclosed forest area with trails and trees that touch my Oregon heart. Awe and wonder. That walk became really important to me over the next 2 years, and it consistently reminded me that there was still awe and wonder to be found in this world, and it can often start with just a walk. I have to believe we were made for this. I've had other opportunities to practice letting walking lead to awe and wonder. One recent experience being in Edinburgh, Scotland, where I traveled all on my own to walk. I've decided that I like to do minimal research and planning when visiting a new place to let walking open up awe and wonder. And oh, Edinburgh can deliver on that. A huge city compared to my tiny town of Billund, I let walking be my tour guide of Edinburgh. It took me into cathedrals, down brightly colored streets, past castles and graveyards, with no agenda but awe and wonder. But here's the thing. You don't have to move to Denmark or travel to Scotland to experience awe and wonder. Where do you walk? Into what homes and rooms do your feet carry you? What trails, paths, and hills do you climb? Walk through your real life, whether walking is literal or metaphorical for you. What awe and wonder is already there? And maybe walk somewhere new. Walk the path of someone else. Follow where it feels warm, and then expect awe and wonder to meet you there. It's what we were made for. Walk. So if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. But if the work of your feet, by whatever means you're able, causes you awe and wonder at the beauty and the goodness in the world, call them good. Number three, see. If your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. Have you ever been seen, like really seen, for who you truly are? Your innermost, truest, most authentic self. No masks, no hiding, no best foot put forward. A couple of years ago, I was introduced to a concept by Tyler Sirachman called collaborative journaling. It was a practice that he had engaged in with his friend Muhammad, in which you share a journal via a digital document. Each day, you read your journal partner's one-page entry and then respond by writing one page in return. Half the page offering thoughts and responses to what your partner has shared, and the other half of the page writing what's on your mind. One page only each day. Half the page centered on showing up for your journal partner. Half the page centered on pulling out whatever is inside of you. My dear friend, Lindsay Wells, who many of you know, she and I started this collaborative journaling process together 2 years ago when I first moved to Denmark. I thought it might be helpful for me to process through all the many, many things that come up when moving countries. And it was a really important transitional time in her life as well. I'm not sure that either of us quite knew what we were getting into when we made a commitment to try this out, but here we are 2 years later, still reading and writing a page to each other every day. But what I can tell you is that this practice has been a profound learning experience in seeing and being seen. When it's time to write what's on my mind, do you know what doesn't fill half a page? the words, "Not much, everything's fine." So we might as well just get into it. And what has happened over the course of weeks and months and years is that we now carry such a mutual seeing and being seen that there is nowhere left to hide, and no need to either. A time into our collaborative journaling, Lindsay and I began frequently using this imagery of pulling those deepest, darkest thoughts, fears, and narratives into the light and finding that they lose a lot of power under those beams. The other surprising, incredible outcome with this level of being seen is someone who knows your patterns, knows the narrative tapes that play in your head, knows the motivations which you operate out of for better or worse, and knows your deepest fears of not enoughness. So when my half page consists of, for example, describing a meeting that I had at work that's sitting with me in some uncomfortable way, I can be met with something like this. You are someone who feels valued by what you do for others and being pleasing. You are very in tune with your gut feelings and you trust yourself when something feels off. I wonder if this is playing into your narratives about, "I am seen." When we find ourselves in a place or in a relationship where all the masks, all the toxic positivity, all that performative behavior can fall away, and we can just see and be seen, I believe this is what we were made for. So if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. But if your eyes cause someone to be fully seen, fully accepted, fully embraced as they are, let's call them good. Maybe if our hands and our feet and our eyes are contributing to the sin in this world, that work that leads to marginalization, pain, and suffering of those around us, maybe such an extreme response as cutting them off does get our attention. But as we strive for more peace, more flourishing for all, what could we do instead? Touch, walk, see. May we have hands that touch the broken, the lonely, the marginalized. Feet that walk toward peace and beauty. Eyes that truly see others and see ourselves as we are genuinely made to be. Amen.